For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From Russellville.
Got to be some Arkansas in that background, huh?
Yeah, I got a friend that fanboyed the hell out of Clint. When he first saw him, he's from Arkansas.
Yeah,
he's from Jonesboro.
He got a hog tattooed on him. Yeah, he's in it now.
Nah, yeah. Listen, I heard that today, and I did. I knew we were going to get into this the Reginald Reggie thing, and I felt bad because, like, I want to respect somebody for what they want to be called, but I was certainly. I was certainly going to keep calling him Reg or Reggie until I was told not to. And it was going to be a fight. But until he told me, or until I found out, like, yo, man, I really want to be Reginald.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all right. But I couldn't call him Reginald every day. Because that just wasn't going to work.
That's a tough one for me. I mean,
that was Reggie or Reg.
There's a handful of names out there for me that just don't flow. For me, not for them. I'm sure it works for them, not for them. It just don't flow for me. Like, walking in, like, I can't be as cool as I want to be with my man Reg.
What's up, Reginald?
Walking in, I'm be going, hey, what's good, Reginald? Like, I'm a lot more smooth with, what's up, Reg?
Yeah, I don't think I've
called. Reggie, I see you.
Like,
I can work with both of them.
Like, I bypassed it. Hell, I mean, I got enough of an issue with his last name. So give me Reg. Give me Reg. That's it. Reg or Reggie. And I don't think I've ever called him Reginald until just now.
Yeah, it's
I feel bad because, like, if that's what that man wanted to be called, but I was going.
You got the last name? You got the last name?
Oh, God, I need to look at it.
Is it Atatula?
Atatula. Byron, you got it? Byron's in for Tyler, by the way. Tyler's, I'm sure, blasted at this point.
No, I don't know his last name.
Damn it.
Well, not knowing it is unacceptable, Byron. Not being able to, being in Ron and I's shoes and just not knowing, not being real sure how to say it is another thing. Get it together in there, Byron.
Like, it's the finish of it, and I need to listen some more.
I know it. I know it's one that if we spend some time on it, we can damn sure come up with a nickname. Oh, we can pull a nickname out of that one. That's for damn sure.
Better than R.A.?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. We can pull some. There's when your first name's Reg or Reggie, though, you don't need. There really is no need for.
Yeah, just being honest. Yeah, straight Reg. Yeah, like I said, man, the champ sliced it. Just call that man R.A. right there.
See, that don't slide.
That sounds like the start of a preacher. R.A., like that's his first and middle initial, and then his last name. No, but I'm glad. Like, the excitement out of Lopez, and I think Figgy too, but Lopez. Oh, thank God. God, we don't have to call you Reginald no more. That was a struggle. Like, I think I would have had to, if I were Lopez and Figgy and had to work with him every day, I think we've had to sit down. And I'm not going to say I would try to convince or persuade him to go the route that I would felt most comfortable with, but we'd have to have a conversation about it, man.
Well, I think he should have pulled their leg a bit. I think he should have went, guys, not only do I want Reginald, but I want full name. In the loop with J-Lo Fig and Reginald Attitude. I want full name,
but
boys.
I don't think he did, because Parker held him. I don't think he meant to, but hell, he did it. I think he was saying, I want it. Like, they thought, yeah, he wants to be Reginald. He wants. Like, God, that felt like, listening to them, I was listening to that live, and I listened to that, and it felt like they were like, oh, my God. Woo! Thank God Almighty we don't have to keep. Woo! I was waiting for you to bring it up. I'm so glad you brought this thing up. My God. Oh, Reginald. Oh, Reg. Good for him. All right. As we're live on the Drive Set, Tyler is out having him a good time on this Friday. Byron is in the building on the ones and twos, holding it down for us on the drive. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock. I know some people won those tickets, front row tickets in the bullpen. Many of you will be out there for the final preseason game. And listen, we don't know who's going to play. I think we have an idea that maybe the starters won't play, but we don't know. D'Amico was being a little a little sneaky with that. With the hey, we'll see. You see, what do you think? What do you think? We'll see. So I would imagine they won't. But tomorrow is not about the starters. Tomorrow is not about the C.J. Strouds, the Danielle Hunters, the Stephon Diggs, the Laremy Tunzels, tomorrow is about the guys that potentially are playing for their jobs. And I know there are some people out there with thoughts of guys that would mean, but who do you think? And 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch can jump in on this as well. Who do you sense is playing for their job? Who do you sense that are legitimately in your eyes playing for their job?
Well, I think there's a couple of conversations here, Ron. Playing for your job and playing for a roster spot. With some guys, it's two in the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
But I think playing for your job, I think it's Damian Pierce. I mean, at the end of the day, D'Amico Ryans can kind of soften the blow for Damian all that he wants. But at the end of the day, I think it's blatantly obvious. No matter how few carries he's had, there's been eight of them this preseason. It's blatantly obvious that the Houston Texans are in a predicament. They've got to make sure you want to talk about doing what's right for the team. Doing what's right for the team, which D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio constantly say. The right thing to do is to make sure that the number two back on this team, although he's going to get 20% of the carries by design, or in theory, hopefully 20% of the carries, those 20% of the carries, if you're doing right by the team, you got to make sure that the best guy you have available is getting those 20% of the carries. And right now, there is no way on God's green earth that anybody in that organization is convinced that Damian Pierce is the second back on his team. That Damian Pierce is the best back to spell Joe Mixon throughout games. There's nobody in the organization that believes if Joe Mixon goes down, Damian Pierce is ready to tote the rock 75% of the time to allow this offense to execute at its fullest. If the O-line doesn't pick it up, there's nobody over there in this organization that believes that Damian Pierce is best suited to make a guy miss and still allow this run game to at least be complimentary at the very least. Damian Pierce has some work to do. We can only lean into 2022 so many times and for so long before the Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans of the world got to go, hey, man, we got a duty to this team to make sure that we're handing the ball off to the right guys. And I think Damian Pierce is playing for his job. I think he's playing for his number two job.
You think they feel the same way? You think
there's no way they don't.
Here's D'Amico. Here's D'Amico actually talking about Damian Pierce earlier this week and his struggles and the O-line struggles while he's been in games.
Yeah, Damian, we got to get him some ops in the game. You know, let's get him some more ops running the football. But Damian's done a great job out here at practice. I don't think everybody's seen that in the game because, you know, when he had his opportunities, we got guys unblocked in the hole, so he doesn't have a chance to really get started. So, you know, we just have to give him more opportunities, but we have to block it better up front so he does have opportunities to make some plays in a running game.
I would just say, Clint, a lot of these coaches they say what they need to say. But I just say, if you go by what you hear there, like, that doesn't sound like somebody who is thinking, like, hey, man, he's in trouble. Like, it sounds like somebody who was like, yeah, man, we got to get him, yeah. We got to get him, you can give him a chance, some opportunities and a chance. I'm not saying you're off because the production would scream and what we're seeing would scream. As you said last week, everybody who was on the field as a running back found a way to make some extra yardage and make some plays with the exception of Damian Pierce. But I think there's an argument if you hear what D'Amico had to say, it doesn't sound like he's saying this guy's in trouble.
Oh, I don't think it sounds – he knows better to say that. He can't throw his guys under the bus. He's not going to do that. But I'll argue that what he just said was we're fixing to give him a good chunk of carries this Saturday. And we got to find out what this guy can do. We got to find out if this is the route we want to go. Because look, it's funny because if you'd asked the same question about Cam Akers, you could have said, oh, yeah, no, the opportunity, we got to block it better. The opportunities hadn't been there. But He's been able to go make some plays for us to keep drives alive. He's been able to make some plays for us in the pass game. He's been able to make plays when everything's not perfect up front. Can't say that about Dameon Pierce at this point in time. So we're at it. I know it's a small sample size, but it's also a small sample size with Cam Akers. It's also a small sample size for all these other guys, right? And there is no way, Ron, I'm just telling you, there's no way on God's green earth that this coaching staff watches the film and doesn't tell themselves right now, we need more out of 31. If he's going to be our backup running back, we need more out of 31. And if we're not going to get more out of 31, then 22, Cam Akers is your guy.
You'd lose your mind if he wouldn't, if they treated him like a player that doesn't need to play.
Absolutely. I would question what they're watching on. I would question what they are.
Because there are going to be a lot of guys. There's going to be a lot of guys that are ones and twos that I think don't play.
Oh yeah,
tomorrow.
I mean, well, definitely ones. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can. I mean, you got to play twos.
I wonder if they'll treat it the way they did the first game. If you remember the very first game, there were ones and twos that didn't play.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm wondering, are they going to treat it like they treated the Hall of Fame game? And in the Hall of Fame game, they set him. He didn't play.
Yeah, they had eight DBs.
Yeah, he didn't play. I don't think that's going to be the case. I do think there's got to be a deal of, like, even if you are happy with him, and or you are not happy with him, but if you want him on the team, I think you at least want to get something positive out of what he's doing, because he does not have a positive moment in any of these games.
Well, let's just paint this picture that in practice they see a different Dameon Pierce. Let's say in practice it's really convincing that the patience and the vision and the burst and all
and
this
and the making. And I will admit, Clint, he does run. To me, he does run different in practice. He does look more the times we see. We don't see him as much as they do, obviously. He is more decisive in practice. It does not translate in the game.
Right. Well, but that's where I'm going with it. Let's say that the actual, when they're sitting in the meeting rooms and they're watching, and there's actual evidence that, hey, in practice, he's doing things that are awfully convincing. There still has to be a major concern of, can you make the transition to real time? There still has to be, and I'm talking about from Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans, because again, the reality of it is if you can't generate a complimentary run game, and I'm talking about a run game where if you walk in a room with Bobby Slowick and say, Bobby Slowick, you need 3 yards, what player are you calling? And he is, this is it, this is our staple, this is what I know we can do. Right now, I don't think he can answer that question. Until he can answer, if he can't answer that question, Ron, it's going to be a difficult, very difficult run to the playoffs with this schedule, and it's going to be a very difficult run to a potential Super Bowl if they ever make it happen. It just is. It's they've got to. There's got to be more to it up front. They got
to
be better.
To me, I would be more. It would make more sense if Cam didn't play. In the game.
Cam's got a resume. All Cam had to do was prove that he could still go with the two Achilles that he's popped. I mean, he just had to prove that he's healthy, confident, and can go. I think he's done that. Again, when he wasn't running it, when the rushes weren't there, the catches were. And again, I'll continue to pinpoint, there's something about when Cam Akers is in the ball game, they move the football consistently.
Yeah. Who else is in this? Who else is in this picture? Because I know Dameon Pierce is a big, big name that people are looking at.
Well, I think you've brought this up a couple times, and so I got to give credit where credit's due. I think the Blake Fisher thing is really, really interesting, and it's really interesting with Cam Irving, who they just brought in.
He brought
in another tackle. Charlie Heck is walking around, the practice facility with an injured foot, not practicing.
He'll probably start on IR or something.
Cam Irving was backing up Laramie Tunsil, and I think Blake Fisher was backing up Titus Howard. Blake Fisher ideally would be your swing tackle, and we've heard D'Amico Ryans talk about the ability to do both. But yesterday was not good for anybody up front, not necessarily just him, but for anybody up front. And I think if Blake Fisher's in the game right now, the one guy last week when the ones were in there, the one time that Kayvon Thibodeau got to the quarterback or would have gotten to the quarterback was Blake Fisher whiffed on him on the weak side. It was when the ball got batted down on the fourth down. CJ wouldn't have threw it, he'd have got smoked in the back.
Blake was fighting it yesterday.
Yeah, so I think Blake Fisher is fighting for his job relative to being that either the backup left tackle or even more the swing tackle. I don't know if they were confident, but they ended up being really lucky last year. What was Big Boy's name that's back in Seattle now? The tackle that played well at right tackle?
Oh, George Fant.
George Fant. Yeah, George. Like last year, I don't know how confident they were with George Fant early on, but the more he played, the better he was, and the more confident they became. I don't know if you have that this year.
I'm glad you brought that up, man. He's young, and as you know, and I'm sure Seth Payne will attest to this, like O-line and D-line is probably the two most difficult, maybe quarterback obviously as well, but most difficult positions to translate from college to the NFL because, I mean, you're facing grown men at this point and not college kids, and you're facing good players, strong players every single week. So it's harder to translate those from those positions. But he's still going to need some development, and I don't think he's ready yet. Like, it is imperative that Tunzel and Titus Howard can stay healthy at least early while he continues to develop. I think obviously every day in practice going up against some of the guys he's going up against, maybe midway through the season you'd feel a lot better about it. But early on right now, like number zero, I can't remember who that was for the Rams, but he was killing him. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything with him. I mean, he was tearing him up, and he was struggling in run and pass protection at times. So he just still needs some time to season and to get better and grow. But that's a big thing for them to have. Because right now, Clint, I don't know that that's the direction I would go. I think they probably would because he's been in those roles. But if something were to happen where they needed someone to come in, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud myself. I'd probably feel more comfortable with Cam Irving right now.
I don't know which way I lean. I mean, I think Bobby Slowick would and CJ Stroud would do a good job of overcoming it. But again, we are all of these conversations with the Texans, the running back conversation, the protection conversation, the what if we have a bunch of injuries? Like last year, it was a lot easier to overcome not having that set, or let's say you're starting running back who you thought was going to be a bell cow ended up on the sideline eventually because the schedule and, you know, Bobby was able to overcome it a little bit differently. The offensive line being banged up, Bobby was able to overcome. The receivers being banged up, Bobby and CJ were able to overcome. Like the game has changed because then you were playing a weak schedule and you're just trying to put the year one of the rebuild together. Right. And now, the thought is you got an unbelievably difficult schedule and you're trying to make a run to a Super Bowl. And so can you do that while your offensive coordinator is having to make up for one or two tackles that just flat ain't George Fant, right? I'm not talking about Titus and Laramie. They just ain't George Fant, right? Yeah. Can they do that? Can Bobby overcome, you know, if you lose two of your top three receivers the way he did last year with this particular schedule? The conversation has changed drastically. And I think Bobby Slowick's job has changed drastically. And I say all that to say he's got to find a damn run game. It ain't year one. It ain't last year's schedule. He's got to find a run game.
Yep. All right, coming up. Yesterday, we were told by Joe Espada wasn't any new news, nothing too new to report about Kyle Tucker. Well, guess what? Dana Brown spoke yesterday. You think he had something different to say? Yep. We'll let you hear what he had to say about Kyle Tucker.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tucker coming up next.
The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Clint's in the building. Tyler is out. I think he went and played golf and did a bunch of other.
I know his ass was up about 5 a.m. sending us text messages. And it wasn't on the back end of his night. It was on the front end of his day.
Yeah.
He was already – I don't know that I really understood. Maybe it wasn't the back end of his night as well, no, Ryan, because I don't think I really understood what the hell he was texting, to be honest with you, when I saw it.
I know he was – he said he had to get up early to get down.
5 o'clock,
to
man.
To get there to and get to his tee time.
I believe I'd have left last night. If I had an early tee time today in the Hill Country, easy little three-hour drive, I believe I'd have gotten that pick, especially Tyler's hours. I'd have gotten
stayed
that –
stayed on up.
Look here, I'd have gotten that in that pickup truck about 10 o'clock.
Maybe didn't want to pay for a room another night.
Oh, money bags?
You're right.
Come on, man. You kidding
you're
me?
Right. Bags? Yeah. They had him another good hotel night last room? Night. He had him a good night last night.
Absolutely. Hey, you can't come on these airways and say what Tyler says and then go, yeah, I didn't want to spend that money on a hotel in the Hill Country. I mean, you can ease up there for 100 and a half and get you a nice biscuit to lay in, man.
Wherever he's staying, just could have added another.
Well, no, I wouldn't advise that. I think he's got about 42 of his buddies from College Station. That's probably a pretty big house. But you can damn sure he's up there. And I tell you what, $150 and I have to get up and drive at 5 a.m.? Yep, I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah.
And I ain't walking around like my pockets are dragging the grounds either.
Yeah, he's probably lit up right now, man.
He's been on a course for 3 hours.
Yeah, he's probably lit the hell up. Yeah, go ahead, man. Do your thing. Have a good time.
I think we'll probably get a video with some background music. Probably a video of his brother's golf swing, if I know Tyler. It won't be his. But then the camera will kick around to him, and he'll be talking about the drive.
You think he's had a good day? You think he'll be honest?
No. Getting up and driving at 5 a.m., 3 hours, and then teeing off immediately when you get there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with his meds and his bad knee? Yeah, I just got to believe that that's not a good recipe for a good solid day on the links.
But I don't know, maybe them whiskeys.
Yeah,
to get him through.
Maybe he stopped. Maybe he stopped that last Buc-ee's and got him a little something.
I wonder what he drinks. I always wondered that. What's he drink when he plays? Because Tyler's not a beer drinker.
Oh, he will drink beer.
I'm not saying
that little bitty when he drank at Twin Peaks. At
again, that's what I mean. Like, how many times have you seen Tyler drink beer? And when he does, he drinks a little bitty one.
He's got to drink beer on the course.
Will drink like a Dos Equis.
Got to, man. Especially after giving up 5 a.m. and driving. I'm going to tell you, man, I mean, Bloody Marys in the morning, like if you're playing in a four-man scramble a four-man scramble, or you're playing in like a best ball
That's
tournament.
That's one I think I got to give a try again.
Bloody Mary?
I just hate tomato juice. And I just
– Well, that's a tough one to get over.
I've hated coconut since probably five.
And then come around?
Well, I went over to Davis Street. They had a coconut cake. And my man Ben, and he was our server, and it's funny because he looked just like Uncle Ben. I'm going to see if I can find a picture of him. He looks just like Uncle Ben.
Right.
But he said, I don't like coconut, but this coconut cake here is something else. So I tried it. I'm like, damn, well, maybe I like coconut again.
There you go.
But I haven't had tomato juice in...
Hey,
I was a kid.
When you turn 40, man, things start changing.
I think that is one I might need to try again.
I think you should because one, you've aged and you've aged well. You've aged well. But there's a big difference between tomato juice and I prefer that Zing Zang Bloody Mary mix. There's a big difference. Now it's still obviously tomato based, but there's a big difference. But Tyler, back to Tyler. He's probably hit a Bloody Mary, and then he's got to go to beer. What I do is you hit that Bloody Mary, right? And then the second Bloody Mary, and you get that thing about halfway down. You get that Bloody Mary about halfway down, Ron. And then you make sure, while this is going on, you make sure you got a six-pack of them bullets, them Coors Lights in the back little ice chest on a golf cart. You crack one of them bullets open, and you make you you pour it in that Bloody Mary.
Really?
Bloody beer at that point in time. And then at some point.
I don't even think I've ever seen it.
So then you just gradually go, oh, yeah, you can go in and order.
Beer.
You can order a bloody beer and they'll know what you're talking about at a bar. But they, you know, then you do, that's your transition into cold beer, right? The only time I ever drank hard liquor, like hard liquor at a golf course consistently, this won't surprise you any, was with John Daly. We go down and do a We do a John Daly golf tournament and it's me and some other Razorbacks. He's a huge Razorback fan. Well, he's got a guy on the loudest side-by-side you could ever imagine being on a golf course. And this guy is following us around, and he's got bottles of Crown Royal. We drank Crown Royal the entire time.
I feel like that's what Tyler
was. It was awful. I mean, I was cross-eyed by the time we got done. I damn near hit a hole-in-one.
Maybe you cross-eyed. Didn't get
the crown
again.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah, if Tyler does that, Ron, he don't have a
chance. I feel like Tyler is drinking whiskey whiskey cokes. That's what
he's got. That's got to be like a deep into the back nine.
But you know, he's
got to be like 16, 17, 18.
Challenge, man. You know, that early, he's wasted right now. He's got to be.
Golf in the Hill Country. He's playing Land of Park, by the way.
Is that
which is right next to Schlitterbahn in New Braunfels, right there in that same little area.
Played it, huh?
Way back in the day.
Yeah. All right, I did want to go here because Dana Brown, the general manager, he was on MLB Network and he gave a surprise, an update on Kyle Tucker, which is a surprise because Joe Espada said there's nothing to report. He's staying back in Houston, not making a trip to Baltimore. There is nothing to report on Kyle Tucker. Well, this is Dana Brown.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see Tuck back, sometime early September. He's starting to do more baseball activity on the field. He's actually taking BP and hitting him in the upper deck. It's more the baseball moves with its lower half when he has to sprint or do anything at a quick pace. And so he still feels some soreness there. But ultimately, he's making big strides. And, you know, it's been amazing that we played so well without him. But hopefully we'll get him back, you know, sometimes early September, hopefully the first week.
Early September, first week, I'll take it.
So we have a date.
I mean, hell, that's within 10 days. That's inside 10 days, boys. Verlander back 1 week. Then we got a little slow week with no Texans game, no nothing after this week. We got a little slow week this next week. And then, boom, we get Texans. We get Tucker back.
Why'd you do this, Dana? Why did you put a date on it? Why did you do this?
I mean, hitting bombs in the upper deck. So he didn't just do it. He teased you on his way to do it.
Then he slid on the under after that and said, still having trouble with the lower half when he has to run, when he has to sprint. Or decelerate.
Yeah. I mean, hell, Dana's giving us something to talk about. Man, I like it. Oh, man. I appreciate it, Dana.
Why you put a date on it, Dana? Just say, man, he's getting better. Don't time stamp it. The way that the Alex Bregman time stamped it last Friday.
Be good, Monday.
Yes. Think about what happened with Alex. Alex went from Friday last week, feeling all right. Just taking the weekend off. It'll be good Monday. He went from that to be good Monday to missing the first two games to playing DH to it being fluid to now taking balls at first base.
Don't forget the Gremlins.
And the Gremlins. Don't time snap it. Just say he's good. I'm to the point where surprise me. I just want Tyler to just randomly do that. Just throw the lineups in every and then holy hell. Batting fourth, Kyle Tucker?
Playing third.
Like, hey, man. Yeah, he might play third now. So you have to move around. Just stop putting dates on that thing, man. Clint, more optimistic than anyone I know ever. Laughed my ass off.
Well, when we don't know, when it's literally a ish show as it pertains to reporting these things, like, I'm not going to let myself get worked up. I'm going to choose to expect the best outcome.
I'm telling you right now, Dana, I want everyone else, all the Astros fans, to do this. Don't hold him to that September. Don't do that. Don't get around.
Hell, you gonna do it? Let that first week of September come around and we don't hear from Tucker.
I'm gonna do it now. I'm doing it now. I'm not gonna hold him to that.
The first show.
He just got excited.
The first show after the first. I don't even know what the date is.
He said first week of September.
I'm telling you, after that whatever day starts the second week of September, whatever day that is, Ron's going
to
lead with
it. I'm not going to hold him to that. But what I will hold him to, if Kyle Tucker doesn't beat the Texans on the field, if Kyle Tucker doesn't beat the Houston Texans in their week one game on the field, then I'm going to lose my mind on it.
Well, that's going to be
a week after. He said the first week of September. The Texans are going to play like September.
They play tomorrow. 10th. September 7th.
No, I'm talking about, yeah, the first game of the season. They play like September 10th or 11th or something. if he don't beat them to the field, I'm going to have a problem. That was our baseball talk, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, tomorrow – really shouldn't be a big game. I think we know a lot about the frontline guys and a lot about this team and getting ready for the Colts. But I know the starters may not play. I think there are some starters that actually probably should play, but I'm sure won't. We'll discuss that coming up next. All right, welcome back in as the drive continues to roll through on this Friday. Hope to see you all out there as the Texans will finish things off against the Rams coming up. We'll see. Not sure if any starters are going to play because D'Amico kind of keeping that close to the vest. I would think this game is much more similar to the Hall of Fame game. I think we'll see something closer to that. Maybe some more players that could play. Like, I think, you know, Robert Woods didn't play in that game. I think you could maybe see some Bob Woods in this one. Damian Pierce didn't play in that game. I think you may be able to see some Damian Pierce in this game. Listen, I know this probably won't happen, and you probably won't agree with me. But I really don't need to see starters. Except for the five dudes up front. I would like to see them get a couple of series. And I mean Tunzel, Kenyon Green, Scruggs, Shaq Mason, Tytus Howard. And I understand the concern of getting injured right before the season starts. Hell, I watched the Chiefs last night, had an offensive lineman who was their swing tackle, hurt his knee in the first quarter. I understand the concerns of that. But this running game situation, specifically with the offensive line and mistakes, hell, D'Amico has said it himself, mistakes, errors, we watched it yesterday, we've watched it throughout, and they haven't, and to be honest with you, especially with Tunzel, they haven't played all together very much at all. To me, man, it's been so bad. They need to get this right. They need to start. Because it's not even just, not said this to people. I've had conversations with different people out there. We were watching the game, watching practice yesterday. I've had a lot of conversations with people. It is not just about their physicality. It is about they appear to just miss assignments. And the rate that they miss assignments, it almost appears it's confusion. Or they're just not getting something. As D'Amico said earlier, we played it earlier, like we have free rushers. We have guys that come through. We've got to get that cleaned up. To me, I wouldn't mind seeing these guys get a series or two. Just to get, because it's been that bad to me and that many screw-ups to me that I think they got to get this right before they get on the field against the Colts.
I agree with your point of they got to get it right. I think it'd be crazy to put them out there this week.
Crazy?
Yep. Personally, yeah. I think it'd be crazy. Because you just don't – like, well, you've already mentioned, Ron, you've talked about, like, the fear of losing a tackle. Hell, if you – let's just say you lose them for a week, you tweak a hamstring, you tweak a pec, you strain a tricep or a bicep or something, and you miss those guys, we're just too close to it at this point for me. I completely agree with the notion. I completely agree that they've got to get it better, but I mean, I couldn't live with myself if I put one of these guys out there and they didn't get through this.
I get your concern. For me, it's just been that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's been that bad, and the first game of the season is that important. On the road against a team that you're going to be potentially competing with, and a team that has the guys up front that can give you problems. Yeah. That front seven with those linebackers who are pissed, by the way. Those linebackers and that front.
Well, that's a good point. You gotta.
I just like in practice. It's I don't know that it's enough, and you're not going hard enough. And I don't want to risk it. I don't. But it's been so poor. Can we get two? I don't even care who the running back is. Can we get two series out there where you guys are blocking it up well?
Look, I would salute D'Amico, and I would admire D'Amico's decision if he made that decision.
I'm curious.
I would fully understand, Ron, what the hell, why he did it if he did. So I'm not, look, I would love to see it, but I just don't think there's going to be that risk is going
to
be taken.
I'm with you. I don't think they're going to do it.
I would love, for me, it's less about should they. I would just love for one of them, somebody within the organization, say it just flat ass ain't been good enough. It has not even been remotely close to good enough. You know, all this were close stuff, and that's exactly how it seems like they've approached the run game, as if they're close, and they don't need the extra emphasis. You don't need the extra work. You don't need the extra sense of urgency. It's just, nah, man, we're close. And then you go watch them backed up on your own 2-yard line. Fullback Olay's the defensive end.
They get all of it.
Yep. Then you go. Then you watch them. You got a run inside the 15-yard line, and you know you got a running back that runs up the guard's ass instead of staying hugging inside where there's a little bit of a crease. And then you know you got an outside zone blocked up pretty good, and the receiver goes and blocks a safety that's 20 yards deep instead of the corner that ends up making the play, or the corner that the pulling guard has to take, which leaves a linebacker free and the hole has to take. You know, and then the next play, you've got an outside zone and the tackle, who's a backup tackle, I'll give you that, but he goes to the second level and a rookie linebacker runs underneath him and he like literally doesn't even touch the guy. The guy never breaks stride. And so it's one of those, it's just one time, two times, three times, four times, and then before you know it, you're like, to hell with it. We might as well just let CJ throw it. You know what I mean? We might as well just drop this thing back and let CJ just throw it on first down and spin it around the park. And so it's just anything that signaled, Ron, to your overall point, whether it's playing in a fourth preseason game or just commenting to the media when you're asked about the absence of the run game, anything that signaled, yeah, man, we're concerned. We got to get better. We got a sense of urgency. We've got to get this right. Anything that signaled that, I would greatly appreciate.
Ocho texting in, Ron, I hear you, but how much better are they going to get in one possession in the preseason? No, like I said, one or two possessions in the preseason. Listen, man, to see them execute what they're supposed to do is a big deal. That's what I'm saying. It's not like it's not a mindset thing. It is. Can we run you out there for two series and you guys execute what you're supposed to? Get a hat on who you're supposed to get a hat on. Pass the tackle to get to the linebacker at the appropriate time. When you pull, who are you supposed to kick out and get? I do think that is a big deal, because if they hadn't been bad yesterday, they weren't bad yesterday in that. And that joint practice against the Rams, all right, I'm with you. They had a good day there. That would make sense to me. God, we got it. We went up. That was basically our tune-up. Man, they were struggling.
Yeah, no doubt.
They were struggling. And we have watched that first unit play two preseason games and now a joint practice, and have them and been in practice, and they have not put together good runs. They have not put together good blocking, executed blocks well the whole play. They've not done it once.
Yeah.
There's not a play you can point to. We know Damien. Damien's got about 9 carries for 8 yards. Like, they have not done anything. And it is too important. As you said, Bobby Slowick's got to get a damn run game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to run into this Colts game and just like, all right, man, all right, that's the last thing. Last time we faced somebody else, look, they just kicked our ass.
Ron, he's a month away. Bobby Slowick is a month away. A month of Sundays is what I'm saying, like practicing. I mean, regular season games. Bro, he's a month away from like not the run game not being improved with Joe Mixon, which I don't think is going to happen. I think Joe will improve it. But, I mean, you get 3 or 4 games deep into the season and you're still seeing a lot of the same struggles up front. Bobby's going to run out of Damian Pierce's to blame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at some point, it's got to be about the O-line. It's got to be about the OC. It's got to be about the scheme. It's got to be about what you're doing. Because, again, this whole notion that Dameon Pierce doesn't fit Bobby Slowick's scheme, guys, they're running every play in a damn offensive playbook you can. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a it's Bobby Slowick's scheme because Bobby is the OC, but they're running power, they're running counter, they're running outside zone, they're running toss zone, they're running split zone. They're running all the plays in a playbook. It's not a scheme that a guy can't execute. It's overall they can't execute any of it.
Yeah. Text line counterpoint: the Chiefs have limped some thrown together lines out there during this run and made it work. Okay, give it a shot. I would urge you to go check and see the production in their run game in this run, though. You don't think of them like the Ravens or anything, and they're not. But go check and see how productive, like Isaiah Pacheco has been in the run game when they needed
it. Yeah.
The last couple of years, or Damian Williams before that, or Kareem Hunt before that. Like, these guys, I mean, hell, you want to bring the Chiefs in? These guys aren't getting yards.
Yep. Like, they're not. And when they do, it's a crazy cutback run, yes, or it's a crazy make you miss run.
It's your second and third string. These guys aren't getting yards. All right, coming up, we got to get into yesterday because I'm telling you, man, Spencer Arrighetti is playing his Kalen Bullock right now. He's going to make it difficult in a good way for the Astros. They blank one of the best offenses in baseball. The Orioles will get you on that. And yesterday we got to see the Texans' first opponent in the quarterback. He had kind of an up and down day. We'll talk about that as well. All of that coming up next right here live on the Big 3 on the Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-through and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.